ago, came out with a report where they said that there is going to be a massive solar ejection aimed right at Earth sooner or later. And that when that happens, they went through some of the things you could expect to see happen here on the planet. One of the things, of course, would be the disruption of communications. That would be television, radio, cell and mobile phones. Although the mobile phones in the UK and across most of Europe, they don't think they're going to be as affected by it because they use a different frequency. You know, a lot of people they look at me askance whenever I say, if you have a cell phone or a mobile phone, you don't have a telephone. That's not a telephone. That is not a telephone. Your iPhone is not a telephone. It is a radio. Now, you need to just get that through your head, because radio is going to be affected by solar flares. Always has been, will be, if, especially if one is aimed right at us. So get it through your head right now. You do not own a telephone. If that's all you've got is a cell phone, if that's all you've got is a mobile phone, you don't have a telephone. You have a radio. So what is a telephone? Well, it's that old technology. It's got a wire that connects into your wall and then into your telephone at home, you know, or in the office. That old technology, that's a telephone. But that can be affected too. Can be. And in some cases, I think will be. But it can be affected. It's almost a certainty that your cell phone / radios will be affected. Now, think of the disruption this is going to cause. I have to do all my own shopping. And yes, I am married, but my wife is thousands of miles away at our home in another country. And so I have to do all my own shopping. So I go to the grocery store, and I see guys and gals, both, in the grocery store, unable to shop without calling someone and asking them, now, which brand of peas should I get? It amazes me. It amazes me. Once that system goes down, it's going to be like watching a bunch of robots just go limp. Because, I'm telling you, there are masses, I say, of people whose brains have been replaced by a SIM card in what they call a telephone and are not bright enough to know it isn't. And they have to ask it how to get to the grocery store. You know, they call them smartphones. So they ask it directions on how to get from their house to the grocery store, and it guides them to the grocery store. And then they have to call somebody and ask them, you know, should I buy this? Should I buy that? And you know, I don't see one or two. I see a bunch of people in the store that are so connected they cannot think and do not think for themselves. The amazing and dangerous and scary part of this is they vote. Yeah. Well, that's how you get here. And so if this solar flare happens, then we are very likely to get unplugged. All that stuff that has you connected, that makes you feel so plugged in and networked and important, is going to vanish. And then where will you be? I wrote a song one time many, many, many years ago. And it was a country song. And the words to that song were, if what you got is all you are, then baby, you ain't much. And that's the case. If your gadgets are your life, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. because gadget world will come to an end. In some places, that may not be the case. In many places, it is going to be the case. And in places where the grid goes down, and it could be over a very wide area, but in places where the grid goes down, it could be years before they have it back up and running. Now, that's not me making dire doomsday predictions. That's the experts say that. The scientists, the civil engineers, the mechanical engineers, the people who would be responsible for rebuilding it all. And they say that if a massive solar flare takes down the grid, it could be years before it's fully functional again, if ever. So get it straight from me and get it straight in your head tonight. Gadget world is one day coming to an end. Gadget world, enjoy the toys now, because gadget world is coming to an end. When it does, are you prepared? Are you prepared to live in a world that doesn't have all those gadgets? Are you prepared to be able to read a can of peas and read the label and decide? Are you? Stop laughing. I know some of you are laughing. Go to the grocery store and watch and listen to the nonsense. Watch and listen to the nonsense. It's unbelievable. But are you prepared to make it after gadget world is over? Now, by bringing this up, there are people who will say, oh, I just don't believe in these doomsday scenarios. This isn't a doomsday scenario. Not at all. It's 100% certainty it's going to happen. What's not certain is the date. We don't know when. Could happen right now. It could be happening right at this moment. We would find out 30 minutes later. So if that ejection is aimed at, if that sunspot is aimed at us, and there is a coronal mass ejection, and it's aimed at us, it's coming in at 1,000,000 miles an hour, and it's going to hit us 30 minutes after it happens. So it could happen now, and in 30 minutes we'll all go black here. TVs will go black, lights will go out, lots of stuff will happen. But it's been this way your whole life, you see. You don't think about it, and so now when I bring it up, all of a sudden there are people who want to panic about it. Well, it's been this. It was this way before the show started. It was this way yesterday. It was this way last year. It was this way 30 years ago. We are overdue for a massive solar flare, coronal mass ejection, hitting the Earth. It happens on a periodic basis. And, you know, every few thousand years or so. We're overdue. And so this is not any reason for anybody to be scared. This is nothing anybody should be really worried about. Other than gadget world's coming to an end. Now, it may revive in some places. It may not go down at all. But worldwide, on a worldwide scale, enough of it's going to go that gadget world is over. And again, it could revive later, but it's going to be over for a while. So you're there and the lights go out. And look, the scientists are telling us that sunspot is gonna blow. They're telling us now. It's gonna blow. What's not for sure, what's not for certain, is its position relative to Earth when it blows. we could get lucky. It could be around on the other side of the sun, you see. It could be. It could be off to one side and miss us. But it could be aimed right at us, and if it is aimed right at us, gadget world's over. So the lights go out. Your radio phones go dead. TV is dark. Radio is silent. No electricity. None. So, what do you do? Now, we've talked about survival before. I'm tired of talking about survival. If you're dumb enough that you haven't gone out and bought you some candles, you think flashlight batteries, the two you have, are going to get you through this. You haven't bought candles. You haven't bought oil for oil lamps. You haven't bought or provided ways to cook without electricity. You haven't done any of that. If you're dumb enough that you haven't done that, then it's too late to talk to you about it. You're never going to get it. And so let's talk about something else. Here we are, 2 months into post-gadget world. We haven't had electricity in 2 months. We haven't had, been able to cook on the electric stove, no microwaves, no telephones, and no radio phones, no cell phones, no internet, nothing, none of the gadgets. We're 2 months into the post-gadget world era now, and it's Friday night. And it's you and your family gathered in the home there on Friday night. No place to go. You know, I know people that say, well, I've got a generator. Yeah, and when it runs out of fuel, you'll have what? A big piece of metal. They're not going to be making more fuel. If their electricity and their power is out, if it's gone, they can't run refineries. They're not going to be making more fuel. So here we are 2 months into it, Friday night. And the lights, they are candles, or they are oil lamps. And I'm not talking about coal oil lamps. I'm talking about oil lamps. You know, if necessary, you can burn the, for light, burn the bacon drippings, if there's any bacon. Lard will work if you got any. Gotta melt it. But there are all kinds of ways, folks, all kinds of ways. So you got the candles going, family sitting around. What do you think you would do for entertainment? We'll say it's a Friday night. And no gadgets, no movies to go to, and no way to get there anyway. What are you going to do for entertainment? You need some entertainment. You know something? If you don't have entertainment, you'll go nuts. What do you think you would do for entertainment? Now, I'm quite serious about this. The reason I'm quite serious about this is because I've lived in those conditions. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we're talking about, you may think this is silly, but I want to tell you, I've lived in those conditions in two different countries. No electricity. And without any electricity, there was no cooking because we had electric stove. In one country, didn't need a refrigerator, really, because it was well below zero outside. And it was miserably cold. In the other place, it was miserably hot, and there was no refrigeration. No running water because, you know, water pumps require electricity. No running water. And I want to tell you, when you go home, you know, the daytime's okay because you go to work and you got the sunlight. So it's okay. But then you go home at the end of the day, you will go stir crazy to walk in with no lights and nothing to do. So you light a candle. Well, you can read by candlelight. You better light a lot of candles or you'll go blind doing it. So you can read. Well, after you've read everything there is to read, everything you've got in the house to read, now what are you going to do? You can't turn the radio on. You can't turn the TV on. Most of the restaurants are not working, so you can't go out to a restaurant. They're not working because they got the same problem you got. No movies to go to, no bowling alleys, no nothing to do. You'll go stir crazy. Part of surviving all of this is not just having candles and food and stuff. You got to have that stuff. But, I mean, if you don't, and like I said, you're dumb enough that you go, well, I just don't think it's going to happen. Don't knock on my door after it happens and say, I ain't got no candles nor no food. You got time to get it. Either get it or tough it. But the real problem is in the psyche of the people. That's the real problem. If you are not prepared here, in between your ears, to handle this, you'll go stir crazy. So what are you going to do? What will you do for entertainment? When I opened the telephone lines, which we will open a little bit later, I really honestly want to hear some ideas. What do you think people could do? I know what people do, but what do you think people could do for entertainment? Like I said, I know. I've been there. I didn't just visit either. I lived in one of those places. Well, I lived in both of those places. 2 years in one place, 2.5 years in the other. So I know what people do and how they make it. Do you? And what do you think you and your family would do? Well, when we open up the telephone lines, I really want you to put some thought to that and share with me what you think you and your family would do for some entertainment on those long nights. Nights begin in the wintertime early. Night begins early. And they can be very, very long. So what are you going to do? One of the things you might want to do is go out and watch UFOs, you know. They're out there. NASA knows they're out there. They know we're not alone. And once in a while, you know, I make that statement a lot, especially when we talk about Mars, like what those who are watching see behind me here. People ask me, you know, how is it you seem to know so many facts about Mars? Well, of course, I read about it all the time, and I compare what's said with the actual data coming back. That's one way. But another way is, for those who are watching, what you see behind me, I'm sitting in my backyard, and you're looking. That's my backyard. You've always wanted to know, well, where is he really located? Well, there it is. I am in Gale Crater on Mars, and I'm sitting in my backyard. You're looking at the top of the hill there. JPL shot a picture of it. I had to scramble to get out of the way of that rover getting that picture, but anyway, there it is. You know, NASA knows for sure that we're not alone. And I get emails sometimes, from people after I make a statement like that, where they say, well, how do you know? I mean, you know, what makes you such an expert on that? Oh, I don't know. I have eyes and more than one brain cell. And I watch things that NASA releases. Now, if you go over to my website, you will see, scroll down, you'll see a picture about tonight's show. Those who are watching our TV channel are watching the captured live feed from the International Space Station. And it's kind of small. I'll zoom in on it in just a moment, and you'll be able to see a little better. But there is a UFO there. Now, this is NASA. This came off of the NASA live feed from the ISS. And in the NASA live feed from ISS, there is a UFO way out there on the horizon. Now, how do I know that's a UFO? How do I know that's not some satellite? Well, because it's descending down into the atmosphere, for one reason. That's one way you know. And, you know, it seems to be intelligently controlled. And as I say, it is descending down into the atmosphere. We see the Earth beneath. We see part of the ISS. And we see the UFO. Now, I didn't film this. NASA filmed this. NASA's own evidence proves that we are not alone. They know it. It proves two things, that we are not alone, and NASA knows it. You think NASA didn't see this? You know they saw it. We're not alone. So, when, if you're alive, pardon me, if you're alive when the lights go out in Georgia, then you will have plenty of time to go outside and look up. And you will be amazed at the traffic you see. You'll be amazed. I hear people say, I've never seen a UFO. And maybe they haven't, because, you know, I've talked about this. When I came back from overseas, it was like I just came back to a foreign country. You know? I came back from overseas and something had happened. All of a sudden, everybody was looking at the sidewalk. They didn't look at each other. No happy expressions on any faces. No, hello, how are you today? No. This was more like being in a concentration camp. Not exactly, of course, but I mean the attitude was more like that than anything, and has become more and more so over the years that I've been back. I've been back for 6 years. Is that right? No, 8 years. Been back for 8 years. When I got back here, it was like a foreign country. Like, what the heck happened here? Well, I know. I surmise someone does not want us to say that. So we'll bypass that, and we'll do it this way. I know what happened here, and you know what happened here, too. And you're still taking it. It's still happening to you. So when the lights go out in Georgia and all over the rest of the world, what are you going to do? Well, you could go out and look up, because there is stuff out there to see. There is stuff out there to see. You know, this is a video taken from the International Space Station. But down there on the ground, down there on Earth, at some point, if someone were looking up, they would see a UFO coming in. As I said, I hear people say, well, I've never seen a UFO. And a lot of times, they're not looking up. And then a lot of times, what's happening is they are seeing UFOs, and they're letting their mind convince them it's something else. Now, your mind, you don't do that when you see a beach ball, do you? When you see a beach ball, you know what you just saw. When you see a cow, you don't let your mind convince you it's something else. But when it comes to UFOs, people work at letting their mind, making their minds convince them it's something else. Because, see, unfortunately, they have picked people as role models that they think are rational, but in fact are highly irrational. One of the signs of irrationality is the inability to recognize reality. Sorry for all of the technical things. I don't know what's happening. The computers are not being hit. But what's happening is there is like targeted, selected outages of microphones. No matter where I plug it in. Works and then bam, doesn't. Works and then bam, when I get close to something. Well, let's go ahead and get a little closer. I don't know. Is somebody hitting us? I don't know how they could. I don't know how they could do that. But that's just some weird stuff happening over there. All right, so let's talk about this. One of the signs of irrationality is the inability to recognize reality. So if someone looks at a skyscraper and then convinces themselves that it's a pile of whipped cream, you would say, well, that's irrational, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. If you're looking at the ocean and someone convinces themselves it's a bowl of soup, that's irrational. Well, we're going to give it another try here. I don't know what the deal is. I really don't. It's the same mixer and everything that we use night after night. But for some reason, it has decided to take selective breaks. But we'll get through this. I promise you, we'll get through this. All right, so reality is... you've got to be able to recognize reality in order to be rational. But a lot of people have picked somebody as a role model who's like an expert at defining away reality. UFOs exist. Now, if you're still in the category where you're sitting around going, well, I don't know if I believe they exist or not. Okay, you're 50 years behind the curve. And I don't have time to catch you up. It's a dead debate. It's over. They're proven. They exist. The questions are, what are these things? Who's driving them? And what do they want? But they exist. And for those who are watching, I just showed you a video of a UFO being filmed by the ISS, being videotaped by or videoed by the ISS, the International Space Station. And these happen every week. So reality is reality. They are what they are. They exist. So when the lights go out in Georgia, you'll be able to go outside and look up and you'll see some UFOs. There's a lot of traffic, you know. Lots of these things. It's not just, you know, here and there. I think most people are looking for something that is spectacular, you know, like Independence Day class craft hovering 50 feet above them. Well, you might get that sometime. I don't know. But usually, you know, if you just look up at the night sky, you'll see things moving. And you can pick out the ones that are satellites. They move in a straight line. Space station moves in a straight line. But then you'll see something that moves... moves across the sky and then changes direction. That is a UFO. It'll be real high. You can see it with your naked eye. I know when we have Ed Grimsley on the show, you know, people wonder, can you really see it with these night vision? You can see it without night vision. He tells you that. He tells you that the way he got started was on a camping trip with the Boy Scouts when he was a Boy Scout. And he looked up and he saw all this stuff happening up there with the naked eye. You can see it with your naked eye. Night vision equipment makes it easier to see because it amplifies the light. Doesn't bring it up closer to you. It just amplifies the light so you can see it easier. But you can, I know because I went out on a Skywatch with Ed, and he had his night vision goggles. He was passing them around. People were looking up, and I was hearing, oh my God, look at that, and you know. But I looked up without, I used the night vision at one point, but I looked up without night vision and saw them. They're up there. You just have to look. And they're up there right now. They're up there every night. Now, well, you got, you know, if you got clouds, you're not going to see them. But on a clear night, you just look up. So here we are. We're not alone in the universe. We are, according to scientists, certainly facing the end of gadget world. It's not the end of the world, folks. It's not, you know, it's not an earth buster. It's not, you know, oh my God, everybody's going to be fried. It's not that. We're facing the end of the gadget world at some point. And the scientists are saying it could happen anytime. It could happen now. And if it happens now, we've got 30 minutes till it hits us. All right, so when it happens and there's no gadgets to entertain you and to tell you what to think so you don't have to think anymore, okay, when that's gone and you do have to think again, what are we going to do to entertain ourselves and keep ourselves from going stir crazy? You know, this show was born as a result of that. Some of you know the whole story. I've told it before. But we were in a blizzard. I was in Kosovo, and we were in a blizzard, and it was really a blizzard. I mean, this is not a joke. Winter in Kosovo is not a joke, and especially if you're up in the mountains. But all the electricity went down, and it was down for days and weeks. In fact, it stretched into months. So you had no running water, you had no lights, you had no radio, no TV, no heat, no nothing. I was bored. Really bored. And we did have a generator at work, so I charged up my laptop, brought it home, and decided I'm just going to talk to that laptop as if it's one of my friends that's come over for a cup of coffee. And you don't get out and socialize much when it's real dark and cold outside. So I'm just going to pretend that's one of my friends that came over. We're having a cup of coffee, and I'm going to talk about stuff I'm interested in that I can't talk about at work. And so I talked about UFOs, and I talked about extraterrestrials, and, you know, I just talked to the computer and said things that I know about it and asked questions that I have about it, and I recorded it. Now, you might think, well, that's nuts, you think. Well, I left the computer on my desk at work. And I stepped out of the office and down the hall, and when I came back, a couple of my guys were listening to one of those monologues. And they started saying, man, you ought to do this on the radio. You ought to be on the radio. That's how this show started. You didn't know that? Well, that's how it started. And it was because we were in those conditions that I described. We were fortunate in that there was a generator at work, and I could charge up a laptop. So we were fortunate to have that. But I also learned, what do you do when you got no generator? What do you do? If people cannot handle not being gadgeted, if they just can't handle it and they just fall apart, do you have any idea what kind of Mad Max existence this is going to be? So I hear lots of shows talking about survival, survival, survival. And radio has done survival until it's, I think, not even necessary. If you're not ready, you're not going to be ready because you've decided not to be ready. That's the case. All right? But part of survival is knowing how to survive mentally and spiritually in all of this. And I can tell you there won't be a lot of holding hands and kumbaya, I know. So how are you going to survive this without the gadgets? I'm not talking about technologically. You know, look, if you've got a magnifying glass, a cup, and a piece of plastic sheeting, you can survive. Go learn how you can survive. That's all the technology you need. You need a knife. But, you see, it's entirely possible for people to survive technologically. In other words, they can get food. They find a way to have light. They find a way to cook. They find a way to get water. So they're surviving technologically. And meanwhile, going absolutely stark raving nuts. And you can't live around people like that. So what are you going to do? If you don't think this is an exciting subject, you wait till this happens. I can tell you it's going to get real exciting if you're around people who don't know how to survive. Well, I guess we are getting hit. Those, everybody watching and everybody listening, you just heard it. It happened to us again. And I want to thank whoever's hitting us tonight, because you're highlighting that I'm hitting the target. We are going to go away for a break, and when we come back from the break, we are going to continue broadcasting. Well, we're back. And for those of you who, I say I've been doing this a long enough time, 12 years plus. And in fact, we're sneaking up on our 13th anniversary, meaning, of course, then that we will be entering our 14th year. So we are wrapping up our 13th year here. And I've been doing this for a long enough time that I know how audiences respond to things. And there are a lot of you yawning and saying, well, this is not spectacular. You just wait till this happens. And you're going to see Mad Max spectacularity all around you. Pretty good word, isn't it? Spectacularity. All right. Telephones are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hang on, caller. All right, now let's try it. Your first name.
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Okay, Brent.
For entertainment purposes, this is more than for entertainment, but I have always encourage people, if they can, to learn astral projection and remote viewing, either or both. You may not have anything to work with. You may have books, but those won't last so long. But if you can astral project or do remote viewing, the universe is yours. You can last.
There you go, and you get to see stuff live instead of just on TV.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've always kind of thought that maybe if we were unplugged for a while, the world would turn around a lot quicker, because if people don't have all this technology controlling their lives, if they have to take control of their own lives through remote viewing or astral projection, we could learn a lot.
Well, have you ever been in, I don't mean just you personally by yourself out in the wilderness somewhere, but have you ever been in a culture, in a town or city, where for a very extended period of time there was absolutely no gadgets?
Unfortunately, no, but I grew up camping, so
that's different.
I know what it's like.
Well, that's different because you're doing that by choice. But when
I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a choice, you learn real quick.
And what I learned, what I observed real quick, is that places where people have figured out things to do to be social and to have entertainment without gadgets, they do well. There's no problem. Places where they haven't figured that out, they become very militaristic, and it's almost Mad Max.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had a power outage last summer in Basque for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. Wasn't too much, but for where I come from, conversation is the next best thing. If you don't want to sit down and read a book, or it's too dark, you just sit around and talk.
Mm-hmm. That's a lost art these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are people who have substituted texting and tweeting for talking.
Yeah.
And I mean by the millions and the multiple millions. Listen, Brent, I saw on television a person giving advice for, you know, you've got a parent that's got an unruly teenager, and you just can't get them to talk to you. And the person said, text them.
No.
You know?
Take away their text.
Well, you know, I'm going to say something politically incorrect, and here it is. Knock their lights out, take their phone away, and they'll listen.
That's right. I'm not knock their lights out, but shake them up a little bit, make them think.
I like knocking their lights out. That works.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you and me both have a cough.
Yeah.
All right. Brent, I want to thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep. Goodbye.
Right, bye. Oh, you're inciting violence. Oh, come on. See? If you don't know hyperbole, then you don't know conversation, do you? How are you going to survive this? When the lights go out in your part of the country, and you're sitting there now thinking it's not going to happen. Yeah, it is. We just don't know when. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia, where the lights are going to go out eventually.
That's a great song, man.
Oh, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And listen, as one who, like you, has spent extended times in kind of wilderness situations, some of it desert, some of it swamp, some of it mountain,
uh-huh.
some of it combination desert, mountain, high plains, and so on, uh-huh. you know, without the amenities of civilization. My experience has been that the activities of daily living, what you have to do to keep yourself alive by day, will wear you out. When the sun starts going down, you're ready to hit the sack, if the mission will allow you to. You know, if you can get some sleep, buddy, you're beat and you're ready to sleep. Now, you know, for those who can't, I believe people will seek each other out, and like Brent mentioned, the art of storytelling will come back. You know, and And people will, and here's another thing. Without the ambient light, you know, all the city lights and things, all that's going to be a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. And people are going to see things in the sky they've never seen before, especially folks who are city dwellers or town dwellers. And if you are unfortunate enough to be a city dweller, my advice would be to get the heck out of the city the quickest way you can if something like this happens. You know, don't sit around for 2 or 3 days thinking the lights are going to come right back on. They probably won't. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be a good idea to have yourself an escape route and a boogie bag, you know, and maybe one of those water purification straws that you can get. Mm-hmm. That if you have to, you can live off of the water in a mud puddle or the water in a stagnant pond, you know, with one of those things for a while anyway, until you can get out into the country where you can get with people who know how to survive. You know, the people who live in the country will do just fine. Small town people might do just fine. People who know how to...
Well, we lost your audio now.
Wow, Kevin.
I don't know what's happened. Now we've got your audio back.
I just got a recording that told me that your lines were busy and I can call back or leave a message.
Really? See, okay.
Yeah, that was weird.
Okay,
yeah,
now look.
You're being hacked like crazy tonight, bud.
There's the proof right there. There's
yeah,
the proof.
I don't think they want us brainstorming these things.
Well,
listen.
But look, here's the thing. There's going to be some initial little bit of chaos, maybe a lot. I don't know. But then things are going to begin to settle down. And the things that you have to do to survive, you will systematize. And things will begin to get in order. I know. I've been there. I've seen this. And then you are going to have some time each evening. And, you know, you probably aren't going to stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock like folks do now watching movies and said that's not going to happen because you won't have that available. But you're going to have the early evening and it's going to be dark and nothing to do. And what do you do? I mean, I'm not talking about you're out there by yourself. You won't be. Folks will be clustered. And so what do you do?
Well, one of the things you can do is train your night vision. You know, you can sit out and look off into the woods or into the field or wherever you happen to be, and you'd be amazed. I think people's sense of sight will be sharpened somewhat with the deadening of neon lights and electrical lighting. I think people are actually their sight is going to be sharpened, and they may see things that used to just go bump in the night. They're actually going to see what it is that's going bump, and they may expand their consciousness a little bit by seeing those things. Let me recommend to some of the listeners out there to help them survive in the event something like this happens in our lifetime, and it very likely could. While the internet is still up, YouTube, there's a guy on YouTube by the name of Green Dean, and he has 100 or more videos called Eat the Greens. Eat the Weeds, excuse me, Eat the Weeds. And he takes you out to, urban environments and out in the country, and he shows you stuff that might be growing in your own yard or growing in the park, you know, among the trees, and he shows you how to identify them, how to pick out the things that are good to eat and differentiate them from the things that aren't, and he shows you how to prepare them. You know, some things that might not be good to eat raw are okay if you blanch them.
Yeah, but you know, now we're talking about the technology of survival. And I'm of the opinion and in the mood tonight that anybody that just isn't ready yet is because they're too lazy or too damn dumb. They've had plenty of time. There's been millions and millions of shows out there about, you know, get ready, get ready, get ready. And so, you know, the technology of survival, yeah, it's important. But you know what? Anybody that hasn't done it yet and they're Well, they deserve what's coming.
That's a very good point, Kevin. That's a good point. And I think the nighttime is a magical time myself. You know, whenever I've taken my kids, grandkids out camping at night for periods of time, there are just some amazing things that you can learn about each other and amazing things that you can perceive in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's a very magical thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the epic poems of Homer were born by groups of people in ancient Greece sitting around campfires. You know, the Iliad, the Odyssey, those didn't just spring out as finished poems. You know, those mm-hmm. those were tales that were told, and they developed and were memorized by people until old blind Homer himself was kind of the end of the lineage, and he spoke them out as they were transcribed. And I see that coming back. But people have got to start cultivating their minds and becoming creative right now, you know. Mm-hmm. Make yourself relevant to things like that. You know, and you can do that by watching the Kevin Smith Show and learning to think.
That's right.
You know, as it is generally encouraged on this show, like nowhere else, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I'm telling you, as long as the Kevin Smith Show is still on the air, teaching people to think, and people are paying attention and picking up the important message, and the message may not be the topic of any given night, the message is, think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it.
Dig into it.
That's absolutely
And if they do that, then, you know, when the lights go out, they'll have something they can do with their mind, because now they will have a mind to do something with.
Yes, they will. All right. I appreciate the call.
You bet, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, you heard what just happened. For those of you who think, well, you know, there's just technology troubles here. There are, but they appear to be being caused. And again, I do wish to thank the morons who could not get a job elsewhere that are doing that. I appreciate it, because you are highlighting that everything we're talking about is really, really important, and it makes you nervous because it's putting lights on you somehow. I don't know how, but I know you cockroaches hate lights. So, anyway, when the lights go out, and you know, we're 2 months into that, we'll say, we'll assume we're 2 months into that, you've already figured out how to get food and water, and you're taking care of that. Surviving is far more than physical. Obviously, it is that, because if you don't survive physically, then you didn't survive. But once you survive physically, you got to survive mentally and spiritually, and if you don't, you'll go nuts. And that's what we're talking about. How to do that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Tony from Alberta.
Hello, Tony.
So how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. I was just hearing your program here about the lights going out.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say I grew up doing my homework with a coal lamp.
Uh-huh.
That's how old I am.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, I remember, you know, going to bed, coming up, getting up in the morning, and of course, you know, you had this thing on the side of your stove, and there was ice in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you do when you're when the lights go out? You have a coal lamp or something like that, and you can play cards.
There you go, playing cards.
You can draw, you can color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do some of the old things we used to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like you said, it's all in the mind.
Let me tell you something that I have a whole bunch of things that I have observed people doing in the places where I've lived. But I thought this was pretty cool. There in one village, one town, I guess you could say, that I lived in for a while in East Timor. You know, when the sun goes down, that's it. It's dark. If you don't light a candle, there's not any light. You know, that's just
no
it.
Lights.
And but what they would do is there was kind of a little central meeting area in the town, in the village, and the different groups would meet and just talk, you know. But there was, in this place, on Friday night, a group of women would meet and exchange ideas about how to cook something, you know, recipes.
Wow.
And so, you know, they would talk about, well, you know, if you do it this way, if you do it that way, you know. And so they would exchange their ideas about how to cook things. Now, I got to tell you, in this place, I ate in a lot of homes, and it was some of the best food that I ever ate, and it's the first place where I ever ate banana flour. You know, a bunch banana of bananas flour. On the tree, a bunch of bananas are on the tree. The one end is attached to the tree, and on the other end of that bunch, there's a great big flower.
Wow.
And they cook that flour. And it's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
So the ladies would get together, and, of course, you know, they didn't just talk about recipes. They would socialize. But they would, that's their purpose. They would get together and talk about cooking. And, of course, how to, they were cooking without electricity, without gas. It was over, you know, wood fires. But some of the best food I ever ate.
Yeah. I know we never had electricity in our home when I was a young fellow. We lived in a small town, and we had no electricity. But we lived, you know. We seemed to survive. We didn't know any better, in fact. We thought this is the way it is.
Well, you know, I have to tell you something. I like air conditioning. I don't like laying in 105 degrees all night with 85% humidity, and that was East Timor. I didn't like that. But everything else about that life, I loved it. It was fun. It was unencumbered, you know, a lot of freedom. And, you know, I just fell in step with them. What they did for entertainment, I did for entertainment. I didn't go to the cooking meetings, you know.
No, I guess not.
But the men would get together and tell stories.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they would tell stories that I think we would call folklore. You know, about the history, the deep history of East Timor and, you know, things like that. And it was just interesting and fun. And I know there are people saying, how could that be fun? You know, I need to be able to watch my TV show. You're not going to be able to. I can tell you that's coming.
Well, the thing was, more people, like in my time, more people would visit.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be visiting during the, you know, the day. People would come and visit, you know, and no one ever called and says, well, I'm coming. They just show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you'd, I know Mom, she used to take the food out of the, she'd go downstairs and she'd go into the cellar. There's no refrigeration, so you'd have a cellar down there, and that's where you get your food. Everything was canned in containers.
Uh-huh.
Chicken was canned, beef was canned.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I grew up with that, and of course, as soon as all the electronics came, communication stopped. No one talked to each other no more.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody stayed at home and watched the TV.
Yeah.
And so, so we lost communication. The fellowship disappeared completely. And our minds got kind of dumb, basically, you know, because we just look at the, we're looking at the box, the TV, which I'm doing, you know, which I do now, or your laptop, looking at the internet.
Yeah. Well, I've got a flash message over here.
How do you think no more, eh? You don't think for yourself no more.
I got a flash message sitting over here from George in Australia, who says that, you know, when this happens, it's going to take the Kevin Smith Show down too. So what are you going to do? Man, I already know what I'm going to do.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm going to do. I've done it for years. So I know what I'll do. I'll do just fine, you know.
So, so, So what do you think, you know, if you have food, you know, that you've prepared, should a person be armed? Should a person have a shotgun?
You know, I'm going to tell you something. And there's going to be people on both sides of that debate that are going to be angry with me. Okay? First of all, I'm a certified firearms instructor.
Right.
And I don't do that, but I am certified. All right? I don't even own a gun.
Oh, you don't?
No. And I'm, you know, I'm a lifelong cop. And I had a guy tell me the other day, a friend of mine, he said, you know, you're kind of strange for an ex-cop. You don't even own a gun. But I carried one every day for years.
Right.
And it's just a pain in the... you got to make sure that you're keeping it in a safe place and it's secure. You got to make sure it's clean. If you don't, you know, there are people that have guns, have never cleaned them. They don't know the first flipping thing about guns.
If
your gun's dirty, you may have a real, real issue, a real problem. And so, you know, it's just a pain to me. Now, here's the deal. Whether you have a gun or don't have a gun, a dangerous situation is going to be a dangerous situation. In my case, I don't have to have a gun. If I can touch you, it's over.
But if you're not like you, then...
Well...
If you're not a strong person, then what do you do?
I'm not strong. I'm not really very strong. You don't have to be. You just have to know how to do a couple of things. And you know, but the point is that... Should a person have a gun? Can you hang on during this break?
Sure I can.
Yeah, because I want to address that. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and hopefully we've got Tony still on the line with us.
Yeah, it's still here.
Okay, so we're talking about should a person own a gun? That's a big,
right.
big debate. Let me set this. This is going to take some time, okay? But stay with me on this.
And no, then no I'll problem. Get, I want to hear this.
In Afghanistan, there's guns flowing like rivers. And, you know, everybody that wants guns got a gun. 12-year-old kids with AK-47s and stuff like that.
Wow.
All right. Now, is that a safe society? No, it's not. But it's not the guns that make it unsafe, because we in this country have guns flowing like rivers here in the United States. There's some 300 million of us, and there's over 300 million guns in private possession. Now, would you say this society is safer than Afghanistan? Well, it is. But it's, again, the ratio of guns per person is probably something similar in Afghanistan. The difference is the psyche of the people. And there are folks who don't want to hear that. That's politically incorrect. But it's a freaking fact, folks. The difference is the psyche of the people. And,
definitely.
And their whole approach to life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. Now, will a gun make you safer? No, it won't. Will it make it more dangerous for you? It will if you do not know how to hit what you're aiming at. And I mean first shot. People think they
shotgun.
Need...
Shotgun. That's why I was thinking shotgun.
Well, you know, the Vice President of the United States told everybody to go buy shotguns. even that... If you can't hit what you're aiming at, then all you do, you know, you fire that thing off and you miss. Guess who's the next target? You.
Yes.
You.
I see your point.
So, will a gun make you safer? It might. That's like asking, will a hammer make the job easier for a carpenter? It might. Depends on whether he has to hammer something, you know. It's just a tool. But here's something to think about. Let's say that we're in a situation where the grid goes down and gadget world goes away, and it goes away for 20 years. Let's say it's severe, and let's say it takes 20 years for them to get it back up and running. If they do get it back up and running. Okay, so during that 20 years, unless you had an arsenal that was absolutely packed with ammo,
oh, yeah,
you're going to be out of bullets.
Right.
All right, so now what? Well, I've decided to face now what right now. I don't have a gun. I don't want a gun. And I can face now what right now. And now, if I have a gun and need a gun, I can hit what I'm aiming at. First shot, it counts, and I don't shoot guns out of somebody's hands. Okay, it's center mass, and they're down. But I don't want to do that. So if I don't have a gun, I can't do that. You know, look, those are just my views. There are people that tell me I'm crazy on that issue. On both sides of the, you know, people that are all about guns, they think I'm crazy about that view. People that want to take the guns away from everybody, they think I'm crazy because I don't think that's the answer. You know, in fact, the statistics show it's not the answer. But a gun will not make you safer just because you have it.
So what's the use then of preparing food,
mm-hmm,
you know, and water,
mm-hmm,
if someone comes and takes it? You have no way of stopping them.
Ever heard of machetes?
You mean knives? Yeah.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Knife is far.
Point. Like, you know, if you have prepared for your family, I'm 77 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. And so if you prepare a little bit, because, you know, I hear about these things, so I prepare. And but, you know, if you prepare and then someone that didn't prepare breaks in your place and takes what you have, and you have no way to protect yourself. Well, you have no way of protecting your wife,
mm-hmm,
and you have no way of protecting your food that you prepared. Or do you just give it to them? So then you starve.
Well, like I said, ever heard of machetes? Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
One of the best armed militaries in Southeast Asia was and is Indonesia. Okay?
Yeah.
Indonesia took over East Timor. East Timor had been ruled by the Portuguese for 400 years, 450 years, something like that. The Portuguese decided to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So they did, and East Timor formed their own government. Within 6 months, Indonesia invaded and took them over with the mm-hmm. blessings of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Immediately, a resistance war began. And this resistance war lasted for 25 years. And the people who were fighting against this well-armed Indonesian military and police were fighting mostly without guns. There were a few guns, but mostly with blowguns and machetes and spears.
Wow.
And today, that's a free and independent democracy. They won. It took 25 years, but they did it. You don't have to have superior weapons to win against an enemy with superior weapons. You have to have superior will. You have to outthink them. And let me tell you this. There was a point in my career, twice, where I was training new police officers. And, they had just gotten finished with the academy, and so I was out on the street field training them. I've done that twice, two points in my career. And I used to tell them this, there's no shame in being a rookie, because everybody has to be one.
Yeah.
However, you will always be a rookie until you're in a situation where you could die, and you don't because you think your way out of it. Any brute can fight his way out. Okay?
Yeah.
But when you think your way out of it, you're no longer a rookie.
Makes sense, yeah.
And danger is danger. You know, a lot of people think if I have a gun, that removes the danger from me. It doesn't. The danger is still there. And
no doubt.
You know, so, you know, six guys show up to take your food and you got 12 bullets. You use six bullets and you're good. And you hit all six of them and they're down. Next week, their brothers show up. Now you got six bullets.
Yeah, there's no end.
And then the next week, their cousins show up.
Yeah, it's just like an ever-ending war.
Yeah. But machetes, knives, you ask any cop on the street, the most dangerous weapon you can pull on a cop that'll get you shot right now is a knife.
It's a knife, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You pull a knife, you're going down.
You can do a lot of damage with a knife.
Oh, unless you know how to fight. I mean, unless you're really trained well and you know how to fight somebody that's got a knife, you're dead.
That's right. No, you're right, yeah.
And that's not the case with a gun. With a gun, if you pull a gun on me and I can touch you, you will kill yourself with that gun. And, you know, I've had people say, how? I'm not going to tell everybody how you do that. But
well, no.
But, you know, you will shoot yourself right up under the chin. It'll come right out through the top of your head if you pull a gun on me. All right, you pull a knife on me, I'm headed for the hills, baby.
Yeah, I guess you've got to be trained. That's for sure. You have to be trained if you're going to use a gun because, you know, then, you know, first of all, you probably won't use it fast enough. And if the other person's got a gun, and he's used to using it.
Everybody believes what they see on TV, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a question I always wondered, you know, if a guy should do that.
Well,
I know my wife is totally against guns, see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, totally.
Well, I'm not against guns any more than I'm against chainsaws.
Yeah.
But if you misuse a chainsaw, you're going to kill yourself or somebody else.
You better believe it.
And the same thing is true of a gun. You can't say oops after you pull the trigger. You know, once you launch that bullet, things are going to happen. And so, you know, it's dangerous. Every tool that has a potential for that much danger has a potential for that much good as well. But it depends on the training and it depends on the psyche of the person. You know, for one thing, a lot of people think I'll just point my gun at somebody and it'll scare them off. You know something? If they don't need to die, you don't need to point your gun. Ever.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So,
wow. You
know, I'm totally comfortable with or without a gun. If I got a gun, I got a gun. If I don't, I don't. But I can tell you this, I'll be getting up in the morning. I'll survive. And there's all kinds of ways you can protect yourself. But there's not any way that's 100%.
No, I can understand that.
You know? You know,
you got to use a lot of common sense here. You know, you got to, mm-hmm. You know, you can't just throw, you know, you just can't tell everybody you've got a stack of food. You know, you got to keep everything secret.
Yeah, you don't want to advertise that you have resources, and
that's right.
You know, it's you have to pretty much at that point operate like they used to in Romania. In Romania, people who had resources kept it a secret because the government would come take it.
Well, that's what might happen here too.
It might.
You know.
It might.
But they're talking about that no one should, no, there should be no hoarders, eh?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen except that I am going to survive and I'm going to be a freaking fact of life next year and the next year and the next year.
Well, that's the way I feel about it. You know, I feel that, you know, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm up there in age, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm like, I feel I'm a 77 young person.
Well, I'm not young, but it's a real, real serious mistake for anybody, including young people, to underestimate me. Real serious. And been a few people have found that out. But it's a state of mind. That's the point. It's a state of mind. That no matter what happens, I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to come up on my feet. and I'm going to prosper and survive.
No, I think it's the attitude, definitely, yeah.
It really is. And see, this is one of the problems, Tony, one of the problems with guns and with the way people think about them. They think that there's some magical security that comes with that. Let me explain it this way. If a carpenter has a hammer, that does not build the house.
That's true.
And having the gun does not make you more secure. It's what you do with that hammer that determines whether you get a house built. It's what you do with that gun that determines whether you're more secure.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. It totally makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I could not advise you whether you should get a gun or don't get a gun, but I can tell you I don't have one. I don't want one. I'm not opposed to guns, but I'm going to make it without it after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about what would you do, you know, for socialization and entertainment in a survival-type situation. How would you occupy your mind when the sun goes down, because you don't have any lights? How would you occupy your mind and your time? What would you do for entertainment, social health? That's going to be important in the survival of any kind of society. You know, unless you're a hermit, you're going to have to know some things about socializing with people and some things to do. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I'm hoping that Tony is still listening, because I'd like to direct this to him and everybody else also. Locally, there was a 70-year-old fellow that was a victim of a home invasion. And,
let me ask you to make it real quick, because that's I dealt with that because it came up, but I really don't want to get into this much. I want us to stick with socialization.
Okay. All I was saying is, I'll make it real quick. For those of us who don't know the two-finger death move, I think we all should be armed and to protect ourselves. No one needs to fear me of doing anything wrong with you know, a gun, but I'm not doing a warning shot.
No, warning shots are foolish.
Yeah, if you can do a warning shot, then you didn't have to pull your weapon.
Yeah. All right. And let me say, absolutely everything you can lay your hands on is a weapon.
I agree. Okay. I agree. But, you know, when you're in your 70s and stuff, there's a disparity of force.
Doesn't take much force, man.
No, all right. You're trained. And like I said, I don't know the two-finger move. But to get on to the other thing, you know how you said about people going shopping and they can't survive without their smartphones and cell phones?
Yeah.
You know, I found myself in the same situation. I was in stores for years, and my wife would always say, "Pick this up on the way home," and I'd pick it up, and no thoughts about it. But once the phones came in, I'd call her up and say, you know, "What kind do you want? What's this? What's that?" Mm-hmm. But I think if the phones went bad, people would start talking. These young kids who were texting, even though they didn't know out of sheer boredom, they would have to do something.
Yes, and it's not just kids. Let me tell you, you know, I don't like driving either. And, you know, my friend was telling me, "Man, you know, you are so weird for somebody that was a cop, because you hate driving and you don't want to own a gun." Well, those were tools that I had for the job, you know. And you've heard me say this before, I don't know any carpenters that have a hammer collection after they retire from being carpenters. You know, they don't have like a closet full of hammers and, you know, going ape over all these hammers. the gun was a tool for the job, and all that driving was necessary for the job. But I don't like driving, and I'm good at it, but I don't like it. I'm good at a lot of stuff I don't like to do. And but the deal is this. Whenever, you know, sometimes I have a friend take me to the store, sometimes I call a taxi, you know, that's how I get around. And somebody else does the driving. So I can watch, you know, I can look around while all this driving's going on. I can just look around at what's going on around me. And I see people my age driving down the street texting while they're driving. And I'm going to tell you, I think you should lose your driver's license for that. I mean, it shouldn't be a ticket. You ought to lose your driver's license for doing that. That is so dangerous.
Kevin, I agree. I agree with you that this texting, and I've seen police officers coming straight towards me with two hands on the top of the steering wheel with their thumbs going off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's not just police, it's not just kids, but it's definitely a distraction.
Well, it's not just a distraction. People wind up dead as a result of this.
Yeah, exactly.
And but anyway, it's not just kids, you know. So I don't want to lay it off on just the kids. It's not just the kids. Yeah, these kids wouldn't have these phones if Mama didn't buy them for them. And most of these kids. So, you know, it's not fair to blame the kids for using what the parents bought.
Well, you know what, Kevin? I bought my kids phones. I bought them cars and everything else. We taught them to use seatbelts. I wore seatbelts from the day they were born. And I remember my son when he started driving. I was coming down the hill and he was going up and his eyes got as big as, you know, saucers. And I looked over, and he didn't have his seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. And he knew when he come home, he was going to hear it.
Uh-huh. Well, let's get back to, it's Friday night, 2 months into post-gadget world.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday night. The weekend is coming. The family's together. You got a couple of candles lit. What are you going to do for socialization?
You know what? It's like, I forget who said in the beginning. You start this. You start telling stories. You talk. You communicate.
So what would you want to? Let's say it's right now, and I'm at your house. I've come over for a visit. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I'd try to talk to you about gun control.
Well, you would be wasting your time.
I understand, Kevin. I was kidding. But you know what? I don't think anybody who's called you would have a problem talking with you or anybody else.
Let me tell you what. I want you to think about this. I won't have a problem. I can sit here and talk for 2 hours every night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem. But sit down, pick a topic, and try to talk for 10 minutes on that topic.
I understand where you're going is people get bored real fast and then they revert back to their games and stuff.
The point is, most people don't know anything. They have nothing left to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You're at an age where you were raised in a completely different world.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you were grown before you ever saw a home computer.
No, that's correct.
It was 1980 before there was such an animal.
And I couldn't afford it when it first came out.
Yeah. And see, I grew up in that world too. But the world that's around us, younger than us, they didn't grow up in a world where there were no computers. There are adults now, adults, who were born in the age of computers. They never, ever knew a world that didn't have computers and all the gadgets. They never knew it. Never knew a world that didn't have microwave. never knew a world that didn't have color TV. And they've grown up plugged in and haven't had to learn how to think. And they don't really have much to think about. If they need an answer, they Google it. They don't have to read and research, and they don't have to remember stuff.
I agree with you, Kevin. I know we're running close on time. But I still think that the people today, if you went 400 years in the past and brought those people up to the present, they would survive, and vice versa.
I hope you're right. And you're right, we are close on time. Jerome, I want to thank you for the call.